Please, to the book of Acts as we continue looking together in our study. And I hope we see things a little different from what a preacher here in South Georgia thought he would get one of these high-powered evangelists. So he hired one from Texas, the church hired one from Texas to come preach revival for him. And so he went down to the airport to pick him up. And when the preacher got into the car, he says, "You call that an airport?" He says, "My driveway is bigger." And that says everything's big in Texas. And they was coming on up the road, and they saw a Ponscoggin sitting in the ditch. And he says, "What is that?" And he told him what it was. He says, "My goodness." He says, "We got chickens bigger than that in Texas. Everything's big in Texas." And they was coming on along and saw a deer coming on. He says, "What's that?" He says, "That's a deer." He says, "My goodness," says, our dogs is bigger than that." And boy, this is about to get that preacher. So he's coming on along and saw this gopher crossing the road. And he said, "What is that?" He says, "It's a tick." Tonight, as we look together in the Word of God in the book of Acts, as we continue our study, we got down to verse 8, but I want us to back up and look at verse 8 together, because he said something there that we need to understand and realize as believers today. And the reason for this is because the propagation of the gospel is left up to us. You know, if you take the book of Acts out of your Bible and you read the gospel, the four gospels, and then you move to the book of Romans, you will say, "Well, how in the world did the gospel get from Jerusalem all the way to Rome?" That would be a question that would probably come to your mind. The book of Acts explains it in detail how it got to Rome. By cause of the faithful witness of those who had come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and because of their coming to Jesus Christ, the gospel spread and it run through all kind of hurdles and over all kind of obstacles along the way. And God blessed them because they took the command and the commission of Jesus Christ very serious. That's why I want to back up and look at this, if you will, with me in Acts 1 verse 8. And you can just stay seated tonight, but I ask you to read that verse with me, 1:8, and then we will have prayer. Read it with me. "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost part of the earth." Let's pray together. Eternal God, our Father, we bow tonight in submission to you, recognizing your authority and your power. We come in honor of your presence, and we thank you for the very person of the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit that comes and moves into a place like this and speaks to our heart directly the words that you'd have us to know and to understand. The messenger is nothing, but the message is everything. And God, we come tonight asking that you, through the power and presence of your Spirit, take the Word of God and remove it from being printer's ink to be lodgment within our hearts and our lives, to change us and to transform us into the people you'd have us to be and to become for your glory. Father, tonight we thank you for the awesome privilege of worship, where we can come and we can sing those songs of Zion and we can be reminded of the goodness of God in our lives and the way you're working today. And Father, we come tonight also asking that you would work in the lives of those that are less fortunate. There are those that were mentioned in the prayer rooms tonight, God. Some are going through difficult and trying times. Lord, we pray that you would be with those that are facing surgeries, those that's in hospitals, those that have loved ones who have passed away, Lord. And we just pray, God, that you would be with them in a special way during this time. And only as you can, Lord, bring the comfort that's needed and necessary within their lives. Father, tonight as we come to your throne of grace, we thank you that we have the privilege to come. And you said for us to come boldly to the throne. And Lord, we come tonight realizing that you as our Father, you know what's best for us as your children. So God, help us to be open and accessible and open to your will and to your word. God, tonight would you just move and magnify your very self in person. We come, Lord, thanking you for what you're going to do. Help us to be all that you'd have us to be. Lord, we come in behalf of those that are hurting tonight. We have so many, Lord, that are hurting because of situations. I ask you, God, especially to be with them. You know each one. And Father, again, once again, we just pray, asking you to have your will and way accomplished. In Jesus' strong and powerful name we pray, amen and amen. In the book of Acts, as we look together and continue to look, if the Lord allows, and I said that because if he changes our mind or thinking, we will do what he would have us do. I pray that we're open to him and accessible to him and what he would have. And so tonight, as we look at this passage of scripture, it has some things in it that I'd like to point out if I could. So in the process of the gospel and what it is, here's where the whole kingdom of God comes into effect. Because as Jesus taught those disciples about the kingdom of God, as he drilled them and instilled with them the purpose of the kingdom of God and the reason for the kingdom of God from a standpoint of what it is for humanity, then we see the kingdom of God in action in the book of Acts as it's implanted within the lives of those who have trusted Jesus Christ. So in this verse, as we look together, as Jesus spoke here, there are some things that we need to understand. You are witnesses. Did you realize that? You are a witness. A witness, that takes on some very, very important implications. What is a witness? A witness does not tell of himself. He does not tell of him what he thinks, but he tells of what he knows and what he has witnessed to and been a witness to. And that's why the title tonight, he says in this passage, says you are witnesses. And so we look at that word witness, and we talked about it last time together. But this term comes from the Greek word martus, which means martyr, one who is willingly, if you please, to literally put his life on the line for what he knows. What he knows and understands. And this is why Jesus, after his resurrection, he called them witnesses. He called them disciples before, but after that, he called them witnesses because now he wants to instill within them that you're going to tell and relate the story and the message of the real, true gospel that God has began and started in the person of himself. So as we look at this passage of scripture, because first thing we need to understand, we are witnesses because of what we know. Because of what we know. He says, ye shall be witnesses, not witnesses for me, but witnesses unto me. Look what he says, witnesses unto me. You got to, another word of what he's saying here, you got to know it's a personal thing. It's a personal experience. Whether you've had a personal experience or not, it's because of what you know. Have you had that personal experience? See, if we have, we are responsible for others and to share and relate that to others. Let's just say that by some hook or crook, some way, that God give you the cure for cancer or for AIDS or for the Ebola that's going around, and it's affecting our other countries as well as our. I saw just earlier spending $6 billion to try to combat it here in the United States. The thing about what if God gave you that know-how or whatever to come up with a virus to oppose that or to destroy that? If we sit on it and did not do anything whatsoever, we would be the one that would suffer because we would not entrust it to the help and the aid and the assistance of others. But let me tell you something. The gospel message is just as important because, let me tell you, we're not talking about physical things. We're talking about spiritual matters. We're not talking about just life in general here on this earth. We're talking about everlasting, eternal life. And we have the solution. We have the answer for those coming to know what it means to have eternal life. And we are held accountable to that because of what we know. See, it's a divine commission. I guarantee you, it has not been repealed either. It has not been repealed. And the gospel message is to all the world, and it relates to all of life. Did you know that? To all of life. Jesus said something in Matthew 10:8. He says, freely you have received, freely give. That's when he sent those disciples out, and they were amazed at God, how God used them, the power of the Holy Spirit, and how that the demons were subjected to them, and because of the healing process they went about in the communities and towns. And then he says, freely you have received, freely give. And we need to realize, because we have received it freely, yet it was not free though. Jesus Jesus wants us to understand it is not free, it's costly, but it's free to those who will respond to him knowing what he could do. See, that's taking really John 10:10 to heart, where Jesus says, the thief cometh not but to steal, to kill, and destroy. But he says, I have come that you might have life. And when we come to know Jesus Christ as life, we have that life within us, and we are to share and relate that life to others. That's why he said this. So we start where we are and carry it wherever we go. Ask ourselves the question, will others reject or accept our Savior because or in spite of the way that we live? In spite or because of the way we live? See, we need to pray for the Spirit's illumining power to do what God, Jesus said it will convict of sin. And a lot, that's the reason so much of this stuff about what you call it, bashing things, because many times a Christian's life, and because of the way they live, it goes into opposition to the way those others live, and they think that we're trying to look down our pious noses at them and make light of them or make fun of them, whatever you want to call it. But see, the thing about it is we need to pray that through the power's illumining spirit within our lives that we can also be the witness to others as Jesus would have us to. If we understand what Jesus is saying here, you are witnesses. He says, but ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall, not might or perchance, ye shall be witnesses unto me. Not only because of what we know, but because of whose we are. Listen to me, because of whose we are, that means we are not alone in the witnessing process. And I want you to listen to me. If we had to do it alone, we could not do it. But because he said he would be with us, we have the authority and the assurance of him that we can carry it out. See, others have been witnesses, or salvation wouldn't exist today for you and I. Aren't you glad that somebody cared enough to share the gospel message with you? See, I look back in my life and I see how God was working on both ends in my life, how God was using people on the job and a church that was praying for me, and God brought it all together. And that's exactly the way God works. He works to bring things to himself, bring those who are that way, bring them to himself. If we did not recognize that, and we understand that because of that, see, salvation made possible to us, we need to share it and relate it to others along the way, because, my friend, we need to understand that we are just one generation away from paganism, if you get right down to it. So, because of whose we are, that means we are not alone. In which Paul said, he says, some plant, some water, Apollos water, but he says, but God giveth the increase. That's 1 Corinthians 3:6. You want to look that up, or you want to mark that, because that's what Paul said. He did not look at himself as one who mysteriously and however you want to call it, carried the whole message or one that brought it all into being, but he recognized the process that God works in lives and through lives as he brings, because some plant the seed, some water, but God is the one who gives the increase. The increase. Plant today, water tomorrow, but look to God for what he can and will do. That's what we need to do, is it not? Dr. Bill Bright of Campus Crusade for Christ said, an effective witness is one who goes in the power of the Holy Spirit and plants the Word of God into a heart and leave God to do the rest of the work, to do the increase. And that's exactly, if I understand that, that's exactly what Jesus is talking about here. Hebrews 12:1-2 says, there is a great cloud of witnesses. A great cloud of witnesses. So let us lay aside every sin and the weight that beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is before us. Let me tell you something. The Christian life is a race, my friend. Maybe that's why we're so tired sometimes, or why we stay tired. If you're running the Christian race like we should, yes, we'll get tired. Yes, it will be aggravating sometimes. Yes, there'll be those who trip us up and try to do all those things. But we need to understand that we're called to be faithful to carry the witness of the witness to the world that is lost and dying and on the way to a devil's hell. We need to, because of whose we are. Because of whose we are. That's why we know that we're not alone as we recognize him moving in our lives and through our lives. We need to ask ourselves the question, of whom, third, of whom and to what is our witness? Next please, next right. There it is, the question we need to be answered. The question that needs to be answered. Of whom and to what do we witness? Of whom and to what do we witness? Do we go and we tell them about Pleasant Hill Baptist Church? It's a good church. Good people in that church, and we are. Well, some of us maybe. Let me go. No, I didn't mean that. I thought that'd wake some up. But the thing about it is yes, we have a fine, extra fine congregation of people. I would put it upside of any in the world that I know of. But we don't go to tell people about the church. We go to tell them about the founder and the author that made the church possible, and that is Jesus Christ. Look what it says. It says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is coming, and we'll come back to that. And ye shall be witnesses. What did he say? What? Witnesses where? Look at it. What did he say? There in verse 8. Unto who? Unto me. That's hard, isn't it? What does he mean there? You shall be witnesses unto me. In other words, we are to stand and to relate the person of Jesus Christ, who he is, what he has come into this world for, what he accomplished when he came into the world. And because of him, mankind can know and have eternal, everlasting life. And not only that, not only eternal life here, but also everlasting life in the future, in the world to come. That's why the writer of Acts said in 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There's a must of salvation. Because if a person does not recognize their need for salvation, they probably never will be saved. And that's why God sent us as witnesses to try to coerce and to point them to Jesus and let them see who he was. I've been reading a book. And Stobel, what's his name? The atheist, the one that was atheist. He's converted and he's now an apologist. Talking about his life, how it was before, and he decided because he was an intelligent person who'd weighed out facts, he said he began to make a definite claim to find out the truth. And so he got all the information he could about all things about concerning the Bible, the history of it, all the things. He went back. And you know what? Within just less than 6 months, he came to realize that the Word of God is true. And that Jesus is a real person, that he died on a real cross. He gave his life to save someone like him who had been in every kind of opposition that he could against the things of God. But God loved him still, and he saved him. Friend, let me tell you something. That's the God that we serve, is it not? When we come to understand that he cares more than we could ever imagine. John 6:68, Peter, confession and conclusion there. What he said. He said, Lord, whenever Jesus saw all those leaving him, and Jesus turned to them and says, will you also leave me? And Peter says, Lord, to whom shall we go? To whom shall we go? Because thou hast the words of life. Listen to this song. I'm going to sing it right now. Lord willing.
To whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of life. To whom shall we go? We believe thou art the Christ. To forgive our sins, there's only one I know, the Son of God.
Son of God.
To whom shall we go?
Shall we go?
Many people left Jesus when he told them the cost of being a disciple and winning the lost. He turned to the 12 and said, "Will you go too?" Words that Peter said are so true. To whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of life. To whom shall we go? We believe Thou art the Christ. To forgive our sins, there's only one I know, the Son of God.
Son of God.
To whom shall we go?
To whom shall we go?
I'll never turn back from following you. I'll take up my cross, be faithful and true. There's only one way to heaven, and I want to go there. So this is my question and prayer. To whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of life. To whom shall we go? We believe Thou art the Christ. To forgive our sins, there's only one I know, the Son of God.
Son of God.
To whom shall we go?
To whom shall we go?
The Son of God.
Son of God.
To whom shall we go?
To whom shall we go?
To whom shall we go?
The question, to whom shall we go? That's what Peter said, because you have the words of life. So we think about this as being the witness that God would have us be. But the fourth thing is, where are we to witness? And we talked about this last week a little. It's there talking about the couplets together, Jerusalem and Judea. The gospel now moved from Galilee to Jerusalem and in Judea, the hometown of those who were there. People spoke as they come to know Jesus Christ. And here it began at home. There's where you begin, at home, in the area of the hometown where you are, those people around you, those whom you know. Here Jesus is relating that. Do you remember in Mark's gospel, the 5th chapter, where Jesus went to Gadara, and there he met that man in the tombs? And because of Jesus there, and the man in the tombs met him, come to know Jesus, and the townspeople, they come out and they found him clothed in his right mind and sitting at the feet of Jesus. And the people did not like it. They cared more about the population of the hogs than they did the people, because they asked Jesus to leave their coast. And Jesus did. But as he was going to leave, if you look there in Matthew, Mark's gospel, the 5th chapter, it says that the Gadarene demoniac, he wanted to go too. But Jesus said, "No, you stay here and you publish abroad what God has done here. Go back to your home and tell them what has happened to you." And here it says that he went through the Decapolis. That means the 10 cities there, Decalogue, Decapolis, those 10 cities. And he related what happened in his life, because, see, he met Jesus Christ. And because he met Jesus Christ, there was a dramatic change in his life. A dramatic change in his life. Before, he was controlled by those demons and by Satan, but now he has come to the feet of Jesus, and he come to find forgiveness and salvation. My friend, that's what Jesus is good at, is it not? He is good at that. Where are we to witness? Let me tell you something. No missionary can carry the gospel elsewhere if he cannot carry it in his hometown. Did you know that? Cannot be done. Cannot be possible. Then it says Samaria. If we look at Samaria, well, we would say, well, they are the hostile people because of the inbred down through the past ages. And they look at themselves, the Jews look at themselves as more holy. The Samaritans look at themselves as maybe not so good. But the thing about it is, we understand this. This is the adjoining cities where, that yes, it's hostile. But I believe that Jesus called us to go there, did he not? Into those hostile places. If we could put this in perspective, the first would be like Patterson. We would say Patterson, and then the next area would be the adjoining areas, Offman and Blackshear and Hoboken, Hortense, going out this way, Bristol and Marshawn. And then he talks about to the what uttermost part, uttermost parts of the earth. This term uttermost has a very peculiar meaning to it. It's like when you wrap up something, like you take we're fixing to celebrate Christmas not too long, and you take a gift, you do not half wrap it up, but you completely wrap it up. In other words, you don't half wrap it, leave half of it exposed, and then wrap one half of it. But the term here and the terminology means to completely cover, to wrap around, and to cover it fully. And this is what Jesus is saying here, to the uttermost parts of the earth. Carry the message to the uttermost parts of the earth. I mean, totally wrapping it up, if you please, with the gospel message. Let me tell you something. When we limit God in our lives, we try to limit God. But let me tell you something. There is no limit to God. He cannot be limited by our small thinking and our small mind. So we need to understand that we need to follow what he said to the uttermost part of the earth. If we understand the whole scope of the book of Acts, it is not limited to any geographical boundaries. It is not limited to any nationalistic boundaries where it's just for the Jews, but it's for all. We'll see that as we move through. So we cannot allow and we cannot limit God in our lives as well. As I said last week, the gospel moves in a concentric circle, meaning start where you are and it goes around and gets bigger and bigger as it goes around and around and around. It includes the areas. That's what we do as we literally wrap the world for the cause of the gospel. That's where we are to witness, where we are to go as God will send us. But the fifth thing, how can we bear a more effective and faithful witness? How can we do this? How can we go about doing it? What is he saying? Look what it says, and this is the very important part of the very first word. He says, but ye shall. Did you see that? Ye shall receive what? Huh? Power. Ye shall receive power. The term there, we get the term dunamos, which we get the term, or the meaning dynamite. What does dynamite do? What will it do? Huh? What will it do? Man, it'll blow things up, won't it? It'll explode. And that's what the terminology Jesus used here, the power, the dunamos, but you shall receive power, the dunamos of God, the very power of God to do what is necessary. See, the thing about it is when we tap into the resources that God has already supplied for us, we can do what he would have us to do. Can we not? Back up to Matthew 28 just a moment. Matthew 28. You probably know that verse. We call it the Great Commission by heart. Matthew 28, starting in verse 18. It says, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power. Did you catch that? All power is given unto who? Unto me in heaven and in earth. Jesus is saying to us, here he's saying, ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost coming. We already seen he's breathed on those disciples. Now he's saying, you're going to receive power, and we're going to see that later as we move into the text. But you're going to receive power after that the Holy Ghost is coming. He had told them to tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued with this power. Because let me tell you something, you cannot be the witness for God without the Holy Spirit of God working in your life. I'm talking about the captain of your life, the one who directs our very being. Back to the Great Commission. All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, however you want to put that, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And look what he says. And what? Lo, I am with you sometimes. Huh? Most of the time. Part of the time. I am with you always, even unto the ends of the world. Amen. I wrote in my Bible, do you sense His presence with you now? Do you sense His presence with you every day you live? If we do not, let me tell you something, He's not the one that's moved, but we have. We have. We have moved from Him. Here He gives the promise that He will go with us, He will be with us, and He will always help us in the process, and He's going to give the power for us to do that through the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you something. I thank God that we serve a living Savior. Amen? Living Savior. According to the teaching of His Word, we have the witness within us. He's within us, the witness. The very presence of His Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost. And we have nothing, nothing without Him. We are nothing without Him. See, we hear about all these things in which a lot of people run this in the ground. But without the power of the Holy Spirit working in our lives, we are not fit for anything in the aspect of witnessing, trying to witness. Because it must be done through the power of the Spirit. But we bear our witness in the light of the cross, the radiant light of the cross with His pardoning love. And then we see, because of that, we see that empty tomb bearing witness of a redeeming, resurrected life that everyone can have if they'll trust Him. And see, it's only founded in the person, and that person is Jesus Christ and Him alone. Savior of the world. And Lord of life. That's what He is. Savior of the world and Lord of life. We're going to be hearing things about Lottie Moon in the next little bit, probably about our Christmas offering. But the Christmas offering goes to support missions and mission efforts so men, women, boys, and girls can come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ, to hear and to respond to the gospel. But that does not lessen our responsibility. Because we need to relate His saving love and power to others as He lives through us. Through us. And I would say tonight, if we look at this passage and what Jesus is saying, but ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me. Jesus tells us that we'll be witnesses. God help us, but help us to be all that He would have us to be. Tonight, I don't know your heart, but I know the one that does. And we as a people, we need to realize that we may be the only road map, the only road sign that some people see that will deter them from a devil's hell. And we need to be doing everything we can to help them to see Jesus Christ living and ruling and reigning in our hearts and our lives. God help us to do that. Let's pray together. Father, we thank You for Your holy word. How You speak to us from and out of Your Word. And we thank You, Lord, tonight for the blessed privilege that You said we are witnesses. Help us to be honest with ourselves. Help us to do what we can and what You'd have us to do. Lord, tonight I do not know the hearts, but You do. And I pray if there's a decision that needs to be made, maybe one here that's never trusted You as Lord and Savior, that this would be the night. Maybe there's someone who wants to come and square off with You, Lord, and come to the altar and say, Lord, I put my life on the line. I ask You to take me and use me. I want to be filled with Your Holy Spirit to do what You would have me to do for Your glory, O God. Would You do it tonight?
In Jesus' name we pray for His sake.